Welcome to the media ministry of the Bible Church of Brownsburg. The teacher for this Family Bible Hour is Pastor Paul Ludtke.
Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And as the Lord has seen fit to give us very little time remaining in our service, He's seen fit for there to be a spiritual gift that will not take much time this morning. We have been able to engage together as one body by being together this morning, loving one another, singing together, growing together as we place ourselves under the Word of God, and in just a few moments proclaiming together the Lord's death. And so we are drawn this morning back to this familiar passage here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me just read these three verses before we have our time in the Word. Beginning in verse 8, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues." God provided the gift of the distinguishing of spirits so that the New Testament church would be able to judge accurately the prophetic declarations that he allowed during this time. The ability to judge, the ability to distinguish or to discern is an invaluable skill in the spiritual life. And it was an invaluable gift given to this New Testament and these New Testament churches. Even just as those who live on this earth, we all must develop the ability to be able to judge, to be able to categorize, to separate, to distinguish. I was thinking just of this need in the arena of food, of what we take in. As we begin this morning, I want you to consider the mushroom. The mushroom. In his online article, How to Identify Poisonous Mushrooms, on the website Sciencing, Chris Desiel makes his case for this crucial need in his first paragraph. This is what he says about mushrooms. Mycologists, and I have to actually stop there and explain to you what mycologists, who they are. Mycologists are the branch of biology that works with fungi. And for those of you children who are just still deciding what you might want to be when you grow up, as of 2018, there were 21,700 mycologists, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, in the United States. They actually have jobs that pay you a salary to be a mycologist in the field of biology. So, now we all know who mycologists are. Mycologists have cataloged approximately 14,000 different mushroom species worldwide. 14,000 species of mushroom, classified them into a number of distinct genera, okay? Then he writes, each genus typically includes edible and inedible species, and many of these look similar, and he provides an example. The genus Amanita is a case in point. in this genus, in this category of mushroom, it includes the poisonous destroying angel mushroom, Amanita virosa, the delicious Caesar's mushroom, Amanita caesarea, and the hallucinogenic fly Amanita or toadstool, Amanita muscaria. Three different kinds of mushrooms within the same genus. How do you know which kind of mushroom you've come across? And this is what drew me to this article, is this statement. Mr. Desiel then provides the mantra for every mushroom expert that I didn't know I had been living by my whole life, but now which I fully embrace. This is the mantra. Never eat a mushroom unless you can positively identify it. Never eat a mushroom unless you can positively identify it. And I didn't realize I've been living by this my whole life when I have been choosing to not eat any mushrooms, or at least as many as I could avoid. He then states, identification isn't always easy, though. And here he comes to the crux of the issue when it comes to judgment or distinguishing. In this case, between what will kill you, what will incapacitate you, or what will feed you. That's exactly the position that the New Testament churches were facing when faced with claims of prophetic declarations in the church. Were these declarations false? Were they spiritually deadly or harmful? Or were they true? Were they spiritually nourishing? You could say those that had the gift of distinguishing of spirits were the spiritual mycologists of their day. That's where the spiritual gift of distinguishing of spirits comes in. The ability to distinguish or judge whether a prophetic utterance that was brought to the church was from the Spirit of God or from evil spirits. That was a critical issue. That was a needed gift for the church. You have to remember, that's one of the differences between the New Testament and the Old Testament. The Old Testament were largely a people of God that were gathered together. Now they were split into southern and northern kingdoms, but generally speaking, when God sent a prophet to a group of people, it was to the entire group. When you have the New Testament, you have churches that are scattered throughout the known world. So these prophets, as we mentioned last week, who were mostly local, not speaking to the church at large, there was a need within these assemblies for there to be those that would be able to identify, be able to critically judge, discern, distinguish whether the person who said they were a prophet and the message that they were giving was true, or whether what they said could spiritually kill you, or whether it was a spiritual hallucinogen. So three very quick, brief points this morning before you that will actually lead us to the Lord's table. The first is this. Judgment and discernment is something that all believers are to cultivate. Judgment and discernment is something for all believers, for all time to cultivate. I mean, all we have to do is look back at the first few verses of chapter 12 when Paul is encouraging them, saying in verse 3, I make known to you, no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. No one says Jesus is Lord except for the Holy Spirit. There's a distinguishing, there's a judging that's going on there for all believers to be able to identify. That's not just left to those that were given the gift of distinguishing of spirits to be able to identify. This is something that Paul said applied to everyone. Negatively, this judging or distinguishing It's also used when it comes to issues of conscience. You don't have to turn there, but in Romans 14:1, Paul writes, "Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions." It's the same word there. Same word. There's a categorization that's taking place. Paul is saying, don't sit there and judge, pass judgment, put a believer into a category that's wrong simply because they have a different conscience than you on a particular issue, that for them it would be sin or is not sin compared to you. You can't judge and say they're not a believer because of that. That's a negative use of this discernment. Positively, 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God." Why? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. That's an every believer kind of distinction and job and requirement and instruction. So you may be sitting here going, okay, Pastor Paul, then how am I supposed to cultivate that? If the ability to judge or distinguish between what is true and what is false spiritually is required of every believer, then how am I supposed to do that? Hebrews 5 is very, very helpful. You can turn there. The last four verses of Hebrews 5. The author of Hebrews writes, "Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." How do you grow from milk to solid food? Verse 13, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's an infant." Verse 14, "But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." Solid food. The oracles of God. The word of righteousness is where we grow in that discernment. I had a seminary illustration, but I'm going to change it to something else that might be a little bit more familiar. Have any of you ever watched your children or gone to a game where they're learning how to, in the game of baseball, move from a tee to a pitch? Where a child, you know, when in T-ball, the ball is set up for them, they just swing at it indiscriminately, right? And you're hoping they actually hit the ball and not the tee 10 times before they get on base. But then when they move to an object coming in the air to them, they have to learn the ability to distinguish a ball that can be hit and a ball that they need to let go because it's 5 feet over their head or 3 feet to the side or bounces in front of them. Part of the skill of becoming a hitter in baseball is judgment, is distinguishing. And how do you gain that? Practice, 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 over and over again. You keep seeing pitches and pitches and pitches and pitches. And eventually, what does a good batter create? A strike zone. They know where they can hit the ball and where not to swing. It's the same idea here of judgment and distinguishing that's true for all believers. You got to practice. You got to be in the Word. You can't develop this skill that is for everyone if you don't know what you're supposed to base it on. Spiritually speaking, we're supposed to go from being in T-ball, where everything is just served up to us, to being able to grow, to be able to identify what we swing at and what we don't when it comes to our spiritual lives. That's the first point. Judgment and discernment is something that all believers are to cultivate. Secondly, specifically in relation to this gift that Paul is mentioning here in 1 Corinthians 12. Prior to the canon of the New Testament, prior to the arrival of the scriptures of the New Testament, the church needed the ability to be able to judge and discern prophetic declarations. And flip over just to chapter 14 very quickly. You'll see the instruction of what Paul gave as to how this was to take place in the New Testament church. Verse 29 in chapter 14, let two or three prophets speak and let the others pass judgment. Now, he wants to make sure you understand, don't have them speak all at the same time, but one at a time. But if revelation is made to another who is seated, the first one must keep silent, for you can all prophesy one by one. Why? So that all may learn and all may be exhorted. And the spirit of the prophets, verse 32, are subject to the prophets. What is Paul setting up there? Remember, they don't have the scriptures. They don't have these Bibles that we bring. They don't have cell phones with the Bible app with them when they show up to church on Sunday. So there needs to be a way to be able to distinguish between what is true, what is from God, and what is not. And the way God set it up was for those that had the prophetic gift, they were to judge one another. They were to discern amongst one another as to whether or not that message was indeed from God or not. They were subject to each other. All for the purpose, verse 33, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace in all the churches of the saints. He's a God of peace. He's not a God of confusion. He's a God of consistency, reliability, truth. What was true to the Old Testament faithful saint is true for the New Testament faithful saint. God does not contradict himself between the testaments. He is the same. Now, that distinction was easier in places where somebody is saying Jesus is accursed, as he says in chapter 12. That distinction is not that difficult there. To be able to use that spiritual gift, if a prophet came before the congregation and started saying that, that would be fairly easy for everyone to be able to tell. But I want you to turn to Acts chapter 16 very quickly to see where it's not quite so easy to tell. Here Paul's on his second missionary journey. He's arrived in Philippi after being prevented from going into Asia. Verse 16, it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination. Now, Dr. Luke knows that because he's seen the end already. But as they were there in the moment, they would have known that. A slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune-telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." And if you were to read that without reading verse 16, you would go, great! She's declaring the gospel. She's telling all of those that are around her to listen to these men. This is good. But what is Paul's response? Verse 18, she continued doing this for many days. But Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, note, the Spirit that was in her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very moment. It wasn't her that was saying it. It was the demon that was inside of her that was saying it. And Paul was annoyed because God doesn't need demons to declare his truth. He uses his own people that he speaks through to declare his truth. How would Paul have known that about her? I mean, what she said sounded okay. You and I might go, hey, well, get her a website, get her a Twitter handle. Start copying this and sending it out to everybody. But Paul had the gift of discernment, the discerning of spirits, to know that the spirit that this was inside of her was not of God. That's when it was hard. That action cost him, because her masters had been making so much money off of her and now were no longer able to. They raised up a crowd against Paul and Silas in verse 22, ordered them to be beaten with rods, which they did, and then threw them into prison, which God only used to save the Philippian jailer. That gift for the church was for that time. That time, to be able to distinguish between the spirits before the arrival of the scriptures. Does it mean that we all don't need to be discerning and judging in our own day? And that's what leads us to the Lord's table. And I want you to turn back to 1 Corinthians and go just back to chapter 11. Which is another place where you find this exact same thought and term. Follow with me, beginning in verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. What's an unworthy manner? Well, it's what he's just spent most of the chapter describing. Believers who would come to communion and they would be more interested in the food and the spread than preparing their hearts to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. He continues, verse 28, but a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. The first place you have to examine yourself is whether or not you belong to Christ or not. For he who eats and drinks, and here it is, judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. And this is where we're all commanded to have this discernment and judgment. This ability to be able to truthfully evaluate our own hearts. When you come to the Lord's table, do you genuinely belong to Him? Do you have any evidence in your life that you belong to Him? And beyond that, have you done everything in your power to make sure that you have your account settled with Him? That you've confessed known sin to Him, that you're not holding anything against another fellow believer where that conflict would stand in contrast to the unity that is presented at the Lord's table. You need to make sure you judge the body rightly. And if you don't, for this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep or have died. God will bring His own judgment on those who don't take this instruction seriously. Verse 31, but if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. God would rather bring you home if you're going to be willing to continue in coming before the Lord's table, partaking in an unworthy manner, than allow you to stay on earth and continue to profane His name, continue to harm your spiritual soul. There's a need for this kind of judgment amongst us for ourselves. Because if we don't judge ourselves, then God will discipline us. God's given us His scriptures. He's given us the hope of the gospel, that we might know the forgiveness that comes from Christ once we believe and repent. He's given us the hope of the Spirit, that we might have the ability to understand and apply and be convicted by God's word. He's given us the hope of His scriptures to know that they are sufficient for life and godliness, which is all we ever need to be concerned about. And as those that are in Christ, we need to have that hope and apply that truth to our own hearts first.
You have been listening to a message from the Bible Church of Brownsburg. For more information, please visit our website at www.bcb.church or call 317-852-7475.